This is WSBT's Community Update on 96.1 WSBT.
Good morning. I'm John Hoffman. Community Update this week consists of updates on a number of key stories from the past week. Tuesday morning, South Bend Mayor Pete Buttigieg was on CNN touting a proposal to reduce gun violence in the wake of last weekend's mass shootings in Dayton, Ohio and El Paso, Texas. CNN's John Berman interviewed Buttigieg.
You have a plan out this morning to battle domestic terrorism. Can you give me some of the specifics of that plan?
Well, we know that the Department of Homeland Security needs more resources to combat domestic terrorism. We need to add field staff to the FBI's capabilities for handling domestic terrorism. You know, right now, when it comes to international terrorism, the majority of arrests happen before there's an attack. There's a prevention mentality. When it comes to domestic terrorism, the reverse is true. Unfortunately, most of the actions happen after it's too late, after an attack has taken place. It's why we need to fund the Countering Violent Extremism program that has been slashed almost to zero under this administration. We also, of course, have to enact these common sense gun reforms, the things that we talk about all day, but Washington hasn't delivered. And we need political reforms to make it happen. Look, when most of the American people want to at least see background checks and red flag laws, and that hasn't happened, you got to ask why and how. Part of my political action plan is for us to mount an effort to end the Senate filibuster. Because if it weren't for the filibuster, we would have enacted some of these reforms back in 2013 after Sandy Hook. The former president, President Obama, was blocked in trying to lead this country to a safer place. We can't let that happen
again. It had 55 votes. The Toomey Mansion had 55 votes in the Senate, which would have called for more universal background checks.
CNN's John Berman talking to South Bend Mayor and Democratic presidential candidate Pete Buttigieg. The state of Indiana has awarded dozens of police departments across the state new funding to increase patrols around school bus stops. Mishawaka was one of the biggest winners. The city's police department is getting $25,000. That money goes toward the St. Joseph Traffic Partnership, which will divide the funds between several local police departments. Indiana police officers will also be enforcing increased fines and penalties for drivers who pass stopped buses. The officers will follow school buses and look for violations.
They have zero tolerance for people passing illegally. I mean, ever since the tragedy that happened in Rochester last year, they are not taking this lightly. And they're going to be patrolling to make sure that your kids get on and off buses safely.
Cynthia Dillon is a school bus driver for Mishawaka. She says she deals with impatient drivers every day as she's driving children to school.
They honk their horns and they, you know, just drive right around our bus and right through the stop arm.
Dillon says she doesn't think people understand what bus drivers are doing when the stop arm is down.
When you're picking up little kids from like a daycare, there's maybe two or three kids and they have to be put in car seats before we can start the bus again.
A new grant from the state of Indiana will help Mishawaka police crack down on those passing stopped school buses.
We need drivers to pay attention to our school buses while they're on the roads. When they stop, when they get ready to stop, you'll see the yellow flashing light come on some of the buses. That means they're getting ready to stop to let a child on or off the bus. Then you need to be prepared to stop.
Lieutenant Tim Williams from the Mishawaka Police Department says the new $25,000 grant will be used to increase patrols.
Our officers are going to be paid overtime to go out and honestly follow school buses and look for the actual school bus violations. They're going to have zero tolerance on it, so if you happen to do it, you're not going to walk away with a warning, you're going to walk away with a citation.
Now bus drivers like Dylan can be more at ease while driving her students to school.
I'm so excited about it. Because, we call the police station and we tell them, this is happening. And, they come out as often as they can, but, they have other things that they have to do, too. So it'll be great to have police officers that can follow us around.
The police department will receive this money just in time for the start of school next week. So expect to see extra police officers patrolling in school zones.
WSBT 22's Bree Isom reporting. Meanwhile, if your child is getting into the school lunch line this year, they may be eating healthier. Schools are offering more whole grains and less sugar even after the USDA relaxed guidelines last year. Whether your child chooses to buy school lunch or is on the free and reduced lunch list, they are eating more healthily than they used to.
It depends on whether your child chooses to buy school lunch or they're on the free and reduced lunch list. So no matter what, they're going through that hot lunch line. They're eating pretty healthy, just like parents do at home. Schools in our area are constantly trying to balance healthy food options with what kids will actually eat. In Elkhart, Pam Melcher, she runs the $7 million plus food service department. Her staff attends food shows throughout the year to find new and delicious food options for your kids. Last year, the U.S. Department of Agriculture under President Trump rolled back some of those healthy nutrition standards that were enacted under the Obama administration. But schools we talked to said they changed nothing and have continued to offer healthier options because kids were used to them and they were better for them. In Elkhart, Melcher says healthier food options are helping kids in the classroom.
Everything that we use in grains is 50% whole grain. We do fresh fruits and vegetables daily for the kids to have choices. We're roasting our vegetables instead of steaming them all the time. So those are the different things that we're doing and in the wide variety that we're giving the kids for choices.
Melcher says they're all about choices over the past couple of years. I mean, I have to do this for my own kids. This will be the second year their elementary students will get three choices in the school lunch line. So that includes like a cold sandwich and maybe two hot entrees. So they go up in the lunch line and they get to choose between one of those. The high school is offering a ton of new options, including a make your own bowl day, which when I did that interview, I was like, ooh, that sounds pretty good. And then one of the things that Mishawaka's food service director told me is they're looking for foods that not only taste good, but also look good, because kids, when they're choosing their foods, they're choosing with the eyes. And of course, their goal is to make sure that most of that food gets in their tummy and doesn't go in the trash can, yeah, which is always a struggle.
WSBT 22's Kristen Bean reporting. A decision on the Mishawaka Menards move has been pushed back. The developer requested a postponement this past Monday to get more information from residents that live around the proposed new site. Protesters showed up at Monday's council meeting anyway.
They've also started a petition to prevent the hardware store from moving to a new location. Homeowners that live around that proposed store site have been fighting this move for the past couple of weeks. The current Menard store sits on Main Street, and they're looking to move it to a site closer to the intersection of Gumwood and Cleveland Road. The developer held a public meeting last week on this proposal. Many angry area residents attended that meeting to voice their concerns. Now, protesters were stationed outside Mishawaka City Hall before this evening's council meeting. However, the council agreed to push back the vote, but people say they are geared up to fight this plan.
We have people organized here for a peaceful protest just to show everybody that we are still very concerned about this plan, and we will do anything that we can to thwart it. We do not want it to happen.
Right now, the developer is working to address concerns that were expressed by residents at that town hall last week. The vote will be held at the September 3rd council meeting.
WSBT 22's Max Lewis reporting. Last Tuesday was National Night Out, an annual evening when police across the country encourage neighborhoods to get together with each other and with local police, getting to know one another better.
What's more fun than free food, a bouncy house, or slide? Police want to give back to the community.
And it just allows us to say, you know what, you've supported us again for another year, and we appreciate that. And now we want to support you by giving you something fun, free, and educational to do within the city.
Departments throughout the area are holding Night Out Against Crime events, a chance to bring people and police together to stand up against crime, but also a chance for everyone to get to know each other.
Oftentimes when we're working, we're call, and we need to get to the next thing, and we aren't able to take that time to spend with the community to get their feedback and get their thoughts.
Anna Blackman says it's a great idea to help repair any tensions.
I think that there's been a lot of hurt brought by the police department, and I think that it's nice to see them coming back into the community and trying to show that they are here to help us and not to hurt us.
Food and games are here for the kids, educational resources for the parents. Ken Garcia says it works. He's not an officer, but don't tell that to one little girl who dunked him in this tank.
That little girl reminds me every single time she sees me that she dunked me in the water, and that just shows these things can have a lasting memory for kids.
Garcia says it's those memories that are important to build.
This is just yet another step of building that trust between the police department and the community so that when crime unfortunately does happen in a neighborhood, people are more willing to come speak to us about what's going on.
WSBT 22's DJ Manu reporting. After decades as a retail giant nationally and locally, Sears is closing its location in University Park Mall. The South Bend Tribune reports the Mishawaka store is one of 26 Sears and Kmart locations being closed nationally over the next few months. A Sears release says the stores will close in late October, with liquidation sales beginning as soon as mid-August. Several area Sears and Kmart stores have closed doors in recent years. The most recent Kmart location at 420 West McKinley Avenue closed in September of 2017. That location is now a Big Lots, while the former Sears location at 4640 South Michigan is going to be a new site for Menards. The future of the 212,000 square foot mall store is very much up in the air. The space will join a growing list of large vacant buildings in the area, as big box retailers like Toys R Us and Charming Charlie have closed, all within a 2-mile radius of the mall. Sears also will be the sixth retailer to close in University Park Mall this year. The Tribune reports Sears first opened a local store in 1928 along Lafayette Boulevard in South Bend before moving a year later to Michigan Street downtown. It later relocated to Western Avenue and Lafayette Boulevard in 1949 and settled in its current spot when the Mishawaka Mall first opened in 1979. The location survived several rounds of corporate cuts, but not this time. Sears Holdings reported a net loss of $424 million during the first quarter of 2018. That led the company to announce widespread closures that included Indiana stores located in Lafayette, Muncie, and Indianapolis. Now it's the Mishawaka location's turn to close. Tuesday's closure announcement, the first of 2019 by the retail giant. Their Merrillville, Indiana location at South Lake Mall was also included on the most recent list of closures. If you're wanting to buy local Michigan peaches this year, we wish you luck. There are not many to sell. Among others, Stover's Farm Market in Berrien Springs does not have any peaches available for buyers to pick themselves this year. A number of peach trees had to be cut down because temperatures hit 18 below during last winter's polar vortex. If you look across the entire orchard, more than 100 spots are there where trees are missing.
Peaches should be ready to pick right now, but in orchards like this one, the trees aren't producing peaches this year.
We have very little to no peaches out in the orchard due to the polar vortex that came this winter.
That's right. The polar vortex from last January is now causing problems for peaches this summer.
Anytime you start getting about 12 to 15 below zero, you're at jeopardy of losing a lot of your crop. It'll freeze the blooms out for the following year.
And it's not only affecting this year's peach supply, but it's also killing the trees.
And most likely in the next couple years, a tree like this one will die.
Leaves that are curled inward and turning yellow. They've already had to cut down almost 1,000 trees because they cracked in half. The whole thing is really impacting their business.
Well, we had probably 2 months worth of a U-pick season for peaches, and so this is going to be a long stretch with little to no income.
Customers are disappointed but understanding.
We came out thinking we would be able to pick up peaches, but they weren't available because of the weather, and so we went to blackberries.
And even though the peach harvest was 20% of their income, Kenny says thankfully they plan for it.
That's what the gamble is in farming, is that you can have a couple really, really good years and you just can't go crazy with what you do with the money.
Kenny says this entire orchard may be dead within the next 5 years. But don't worry, peach fans, he's already ordered trees to replace the ones he may be losing.
WSBT 22's Brooke Daniel reporting.
The views expressed on WSBT's Community Update are those of the guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of the host, WSBT Radio, its staff, or management. Join us again next week on Community Update on the Sports Leader, 96.1 WSBT.